Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Katie F., and I'm a compulsive overeater and your leader for this meeting. I don't know what I'm doing here. Today is Monday, May 11, 2026. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 37, the first paragraph. Whatever the precise definition, through one paragraph ending with, be called anything else. Comments on one paragraph. Today's readers are, and thank you for your service, for the 12 Steps, Jim F., 12 Traditions, Michelle M. Reading the text are Lynn F. and Jason KP. The newcomer greeter is Penny C., and the host of the second hour is Hannah Yetta R. The reference number for Sunday, May 10th, 2026, special edition, is 23,446. That's 23446. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Jim F. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Jim F. from Illinois. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all the persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry it out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Jim. I will now ask Michelle M. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Michelle M. in Arizona, recovered compulsive overeater, and these are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. thus problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be full of self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name might never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Michelle. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 37, the first paragraph, whatever the precise definition, through one paragraph ending with be called anything else. Comments on the one paragraph. I will ask Lynn F. to begin reading.
Good morning, Katie. Good morning, fellows. This is Lynn F., recovered in Pennsylvania. Whatever the precise definition of the word may be, we call this plain insanity. How can such a lack of proportion of the ability to think straight be called anything else? In preparation, I looked up the definition in the Big Book Dictionary of the word insanity. It says extreme senselessness or foolishness, delusion, delirium, or irrationality. How does that apply to me today? How does it apply to me in my recovery? I align with Jim, and I relate to his experience in recovery, and it starts really on page 35. It defines him as intelligent, normal, as far as we can see, except for a nervous disposition. It's my understanding that my disposition is nervous and can be nervous if I'm not aligned. It does go on and say he failed to enlarge his spiritual life. I understand that as it relates to Jim and as it relates to my recovery. In food, anything could trip me up and anything could make me want to overeat compulsively, and I can justify it based on my feelings of the moment. Today in recovery, I still wrestle with anxiety and faith, and those two things can cause bad behavior. Thank God today I don't pick up food, but I do pick up my character traits when I pick up anxiety. And that is, for me, fuel for irrational behavior, irrational thinking, not aligning with God, which can cause all sorts of circumstances in my life that are not pleasant, that are not maybe what I want to portray as a recovered woman, as a woman of integrity. So today I am aiming to be balanced. I'm aiming to not allow my nervous disposition to take hold through prayer and meditation, through service, through aiming to be a woman of integrity today, walking along this path with each of you. And that's what I have to share. I'm going to mute and listen. Thank you so much for allowing me to read.
Thank you, Lena, for getting us started. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others might share their experience. Okay, so who would like to share on this first paragraph on page 37?
Melissa Singh.
Rita P.
Lisa B. Rita P. South Janet Carolina. P.
Jason KP.
Okay. I heard Melissa C., Dorita P., Lisa B., Jason KP. Who did I miss?
Ken W.H.
Janet B.
Janet B. Okay, well, that's a good lineup. Melissa C., Dorita P., Lisa B., Jason KP., Ken WH, and Janet B. Okay, go ahead, Melissa, followed by Dorita.
Hey, good morning, Katie. Thanks so much for your service this morning. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, when I read this story, first of all, every story in this chapter has a very clear point. You know, it's that all the things that you rely on, all the things that you think, for me, all the things that I could rely on, all the things that I think were going to be my ticket out of the hell of the food, were all ineffective, you know, and that the chapter ends with that, you know, at some point, right, the only thing that we're really going to be able to rely on is a power greater than ourselves. And so this chapter really is about, you know, helping me see that on my own power, on human power, this will never work. I will never be able to do it. And so the idea of, you know, this particular person that put the whiskey in the milk, lacking proportion of the ability to think straight. I think about myself, you know, I didn't put whiskey in, my milk, but how could I relate to this story? What are ways that I acted, you know, that showed my insanity, you know, my inability to think straight is, you know, when I think about lacking proportion, it's making things that are deadly to me seem harmless and making things that really don't matter all that much, the central force, you know, the central thing that I'm focusing on. And I see that in this story here. You know, he failed to enlarge his spiritual life. So when I read that, like, he was on shaky ground, but his efforts and energies were focused on his financial well-being, you know, so much so that he was going to put himself in a bar, which sounds crazy. But I think about myself, what are situations that I've been in that I perhaps have lacked proportion? You know, in early abstinence, thinking that I'm the person who's going to be in charge of the Girl Scout cookies, you know, when I was the Girl Scout leader. You know, things like that. Other things like more subtle, you know, showing up in an event and not advocating for myself and making sure that there's something there for me to eat, thinking that, you know, I don't want to seem rude. I don't want to seem, you know, difficult. I don't want to be one of those types of people. You know, fast forward to today, I don't, thank you, God, I don't lack proportion. I found myself at something before the weekend where food was being ordered family style. I thought I was going to be able to order precisely what I needed, and I walked in, and that wasn't the situation. But I no longer lack proportion. I'm not as worried about what other people think of me, because I know that I've got a deadly allergy that will kill me, and I know enough to go over and quietly, respectfully advocate for myself and take care of my needs. The only reason why I know that is because I have not, thank you, God, failed to enlarge my spiritual life, and that is really the solution. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Melissa C. Okay, Dorita P., you're up, followed by Lisa B. Dorita.
Hi, this is Dorita. Yes, this is Dorita. I'm sorry. So sorry for the delay. My name is Dorita Pippen, and I'm a compulsive overeater. Really grateful to be here. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. Excuse me. It's a privilege and honor to be at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Everybody do not get this opportunity for whatever reason, so I'm really grateful I have a seat here. Yes, I lost the page we were on, but that's okay. Here it is right here, 37. Whatever the precise definition of the word may be, we call this plain insanity. How can such a lack of proportion of the ability to think straight be called anything else? Whiskey and milk. Yes, I'm so grateful. And, you know, the insanity, the first person, thank you for the previous shares. you know, she read the definition of insanity. And for me, you know, the way I, the way I maintain my sanity, I guess, the way I maintain my sanity is through or by means of enlarging my spiritual life. To me, those two things go together. Like, so if I'm insane, that means I'm not spiritually fit, you know, and that's why I don't receive a daily reprieve. You know, it all go together. It all go together. And I'm learning that. And actually, I guess I didn't know it before, not before right this moment, but before, like, lately, recently. I say it like this. I didn't put those two things together, but today I'm going to repeat it for myself. If I'm not spiritually fit, I am insane. If I'm not spiritually fit, I'm insane. And when I am spiritually fit, I do have some semblance of sanity. I can, heard the alcoholic say, I can't pass as a sane person. I'm just passing as a sane person. But I'm just really grateful. I could go on and on and on about this program, but I'm going to let other people share. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Dorita. Okay, Lisa B., you're up, followed by Jason K.P.
Good morning, Katie. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and I'm in South Carolina. I spell my name L-E-S-A. Thank you, Lynn, for your lead. So the precise definition, the insanity, for me, acting on lies and expecting different results and then believing distorted stories in my own mind. You know, it all is in my own mind. It's my perceptions that are distorted and my inability to think straight, to tell the true from the false. And I separate from God, and that's what happens. But as a result of going through the steps and getting clarity and abstinence and having entire abstinence going through the steps, those mental blank spots, like I am saved from those as long as I continue to stay in this work and listening to the shares, identifying in every day I need to listen on this meeting. It's like this veil comes over over a period of time where I don't know what happens. I just start to distance myself. I haven't done that since I've come to this meeting now, since the end of 2015, and I'm grateful for that. But it begins in my mind. And this reading, it points me to humility. It reminds me that my own thinking alone cannot restore me to sanity. And I hear it over and over, and it's in the book, and it's in my experience that I need a power greater than myself. That my sanity comes when I reconnect and holding God's hands and holding the fellowship's hand and continuing to live in the 12 steps. It's not about the substance. It's about staying connected to my true source of power, where truth, clarity, and sanity are restored. So I'm grateful to be here. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Lisa B. And now we'll have Jason K.P. followed by Ken W.H.
Good morning, Jason K.P., recovered compulsive eater and bulimic from Pennsylvania.
you know, they define insanity here, and you know, this definition of doing the same thing, expecting different results, you know, that we colloquially repeat again and again is not in the big book. And again, for me, I think I shared this recently, like I knew when I went back into the food, it was going to be bad. I just couldn't stop myself. But these strange mental blank spots, you know, we're insane. And this is not the normal insane. And I'm not insane when it comes to other things. You know, I overdid it on a certain alcohol one night. And every time I look at that alcohol, if I smell it, my stomach turns. I cannot drink it. When I go in terms of my career and my job, it advanced. I was holding on, at least I was holding on, because I could think sanely in other areas of my life. But when it comes to this one thing, I'm strangely insane. I'll go to my favorite binge food store and I'll go with the idea, I'll just get the healthy thing. I'll just get that one thing, which is a good thing. And every once in a while I could catch myself and say, oh, that's a lie, right? And maybe not go. But most of the time, I was caught up in these strange, very, almost like a house of cards type of reasoning. And most of the time, I was always going to start my abstinence at the next meal or the next day, which meant that the binge I was on was going to be the last one, best one ever. I even went through a strange time where I thought, I love technology. If I buy a tablet and I pay the money to Weight Watchers, I'll be able to track my points and control my food. And the enormity of my problem, the enormity of the compulsive eating, the bulimia, the binging, the purging, was so intense. Just to think that this simple strategy would move the dial is insane. At another point, I heard, keep it green, right? I wrote down every single consequence I could think of my eating, and thinking that if I just knew how bad it and kept in my consciousness how bad it made me feel and all the consequences, I wouldn't eat compulsively. And yet in the big book, it says the consequences don't function in the same way in our mind. They don't crowd into our consciousness with sufficient force to deter us from taking that first drink. So these are some of my mental blank spots. I was always going around thinking it's just about to be bad enough. I'm just about to make up my mind to do this thing, right? And if I say this stuff out loud and someone said, well, what's the truth? The truth of the matter was for decades, you know, starting in my teens, progressing through my 20s and 30s, and I got recovered at 37, I'm 45 now. For decades, for years and years and years, it was getting worse, and I was just about to stop.
That's time.
Yeah, and with that, I'll pass. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Jason KP. Now Ken WH, followed by Janet B, and then we will open it up for more shares.
Thank you. Katie, this is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive overeater from North Carolina. A total lack of proportion. And for me, I applied that applied to my whole behavior, my whole way of thinking about myself. I put myself completely out of proportion to the reality. And I'll give an example, and I'm somewhat hesitant to share because of how ridiculous it is, a total lack of proportion. I was convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt, whether I was drinking or eating or whatever, that I was being watched, that someone was out to get me for whatever reason, and that before I threw whatever I was eating from out the window at night on a highway with myself and nobody else, before I threw it out the window, I would wipe my fingerprints off the bag or whatever the container was, and then I would throw it. And I was convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I didn't do that, the police were going to find the wrapper, they were going to dust it for fingerprints, and they were going to come and get me. That is, as far as I'm concerned, a lack of an utter lack of proportion about my importance. That's just a lack of proportion in thinking, period. It's absolutely ridiculous. And that's what food did to me. That's what addiction did to me. Those are the things I thought about myself, and those are the things that scared me half to death. And did that stop me from eating? No. Did it stop me from wiping the fingerprints off? No. Those consequences that I was paranoid about did not stop me from doing what I did. For me, that's insanity, and that's all I have to share. Thanks.
Thank you, Ken. Okay, Janet B., you're up, and then we'll open it up for more sharers.
Morning. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. So the inability to think straight that we've all been talking about, right? That meant that I would go out to the store to get a box of cookies, say I'm going to just have one, and then inevitably eat the whole box. Like, that's how it worked. I could not remember strongly enough to deter me that I was unable to have just one. So, and that's a first step. When I realize I can't just have one, I won't be able to stop. What's the solution? It's not, as my friend said a couple shares ago, keep the memory green, because I don't have the ability to keep the memory green. Just like if I had a broken leg, I couldn't think my way out of it. And they're telling me with this, I couldn't think my way out of it either. So that tells me it's not really a mental problem. It's not a thinking problem. It's a different kind. And on page 64, they tell me what the solution is. When the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. So that tells me, at its essence, this is a spiritual problem, which made no sense to me. I went to Overeaters Anonymous to get the magic food plan and to get group support. I got a food plan. I got support. It didn't help, because that wasn't the spiritual solution. And the spiritual solution, as people have said, is God. But what does that mean, right? I always prayed, God, please make me stop binging. Please make me stop binging. And it didn't work, because the solution isn't begging to God. The solution is surrender to a loving God who we believe can restore us to sanity. And that's what this program asks of me. On page 45, they tell me the main object of this book, find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. I couldn't think my way out of it, but this power could. And if this power, this God, could solve my problem, that means that this God must love me. Right? Because otherwise, why, with everything going on in the world, would he bother trying to solve my problem? But he does. And all I have to do is surrender to him, not just my food, but my entire life, the way I deal with my kids, the way I file my income taxes, the way I clean up the wreckage of my past, because I can't just say today's a new day, ignore the past, and then spend a little time every day trying to connect with him and help other people. And then the spiritual malady is over, and I can straighten out mentally and physically. This program is a miracle of healing, and these pages tell us how to access. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Janet. Okay, so we're on page 37, the first paragraph, whatever the precise definition. Reading and commenting on that one paragraph, who would like to share if you haven't shared in the last few days?
Herbert.
Claire R. Okay. Who else? Star one to unmute.
Mackenzie D in Wisconsin.
Okay, let's go with those three, and then maybe more will add. Nadia E. Okay, Nadia. Okay, Herbert, Claire R., Mackenzie D., and Nadia E. Go ahead, please, Herbert.
Thank you and good morning. I'm Herbert F., recovered compulsive overeater from Santa Fe, New Mexico. And I want to encourage people to come on and share, especially if we haven't heard you before, because we it would be nice to hear some new voices on the line. And that might be just my own ego trying to, out of disproportional thinking of my ego, but when I think of the disproportional thinking, I do think of my ego where I think I'm better than other people. And I just know I'm not. You know, my Creator has created all of us with the same amount of love and compassion, and my ego gets just out of hand, thinking that I'm better than other people when they don't do what I want them to do. I guess that's another example of disproportional thinking, that I'm in control because I'm not. The other thing I wanted to mention about my ego, when I was in the food, it was highly disproportional thinking of how much I hated myself. I had so much shame and guilt and anger aimed at myself when I was eating because I couldn't fix it myself. And I know that that's disproportional thinking. I'm not certain how well I'll be able to explain it, but I hated myself, but I also know now that God loves me. And, you know, there's no need to do that to myself. No need to carry shame because we didn't create this disease. We can't control this disease. We can't cure this disease. Only a spiritual experience as a result of doing the steps rigorously and honestly with a sponsor who has what we want, who has the kind of recovery and the kind of freedom that we want. And I will leave it at that and say God bless everyone. Have a wonderful day. Thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you, Herbert F. Okay, Claire R., you're up, followed by Mackenzie D. Claire, star one.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
I can, yeah.
Good morning. Okay. This is only my second time calling, so I'm pretty new to this. My name is Claire R. My name is Claire R. I'm in Tennessee. I'm in recovery for compulsive overeating, and I have been doing this program. This is day 24 for me. So just wanted to comment on a few things. I wake up 15 minutes earlier to be on this meeting. I sit in my little rocking chair and look out the window at the birds, and I think that I'm going to be able to, you know, do other things while I'm listening to the meeting, but everything you guys say is so good that I find myself sitting down and taking notes because it's so good, and I need all the nuggets throughout the day. But what I wanted to say is my sponsor talked about ego being easing God out, and I had an experience this weekend. I've been doing so well in the program and just really able to move through the steps. I'm currently doing a moral inventory because I've been in another recovery program, and that's where I am. That's where I was when I came to OA. But when I was, I had a really cool experience this weekend, and I was very excited, and I had some workmen here working on something, and I my husband, you know, we made lunch for the workers, and I was feeling just a huge amount of excitement. And so I was already a little bit dysregulated and just kind of over the top happy. And what I realized is instead of just giving pause and just thanking God for this beautiful miracle that was happening and his provision and just what it was going to mean for our future, instead of just taking a pause and leaning into and surrendering all this beauty to the Lord and this provision and saying, thank you, I automatically went to food. Like, okay, I'm going to prepare these people the best thing ever, and I'm going to make, because I eat a plant-based diet. So I said, I'm going to make the yummiest plant-based cookies. Well, I'm staying away from those kind of things right now. And this disordered thinking I have, I made myself believe that I was making those quote-unquote healthy cookies for them, and I wasn't. I was making them for me. And I'm really getting emotional because the gratitude on the other side, while I'm sitting in this rocking chair looking at the birds, I'm able to realize that I lied to myself. And, of course, I had way too many. And I ended up throwing them out. My sponsor said you need to get rid of them.
That's time.
But what I want to end with is I'm grateful this morning for new mercies from God. And I'm grateful that I'm able to see the insanity that I was walking in. And I'm grateful that I'm able to lean into God this morning. I'll pass.
Okay, thank you. Claire R., and now we'll have Mackenzie D., followed by Nadia E.
Thank you. This is Mackenzie D. in Wisconsin, and thank you for your leadership in this meeting and for all those who have shared. I'm grateful to be here and part of this community. So this talks about, you know, insanity and a lack of proportion, lack of ability to think straight. And in the previous paragraph, we see that Jim, you know, he has all of his self-knowledge, and easily pushes aside all of that knowledge in favor of this foolish idea and the whiskey and the milk. And that seems so silly to me because they don't necessarily relate to the whiskey and the milk thing. But when I really get honest with myself and I ask God to unveil for me, I can see, you know, all the thousands and thousands of time that I easily pushed away this self-knowledge that, you know, I'm a compulsive reader. I've been violently bulimic for, you know, decades. But I can easily push that aside because, you know, this time it's going to be different. I'm just going to binge for a couple of hours and then I'll go, you know, do this thing at work or get my kids or whatever it is. As if I have the power to do that. And I can't tell you how many hundreds of thousands of times I easily push that away. So I can definitely relate to that lack of ability to think straight in regards to food. I can definitely relate to the lack of proportion in my consumption. I mean, just spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars, hours and hours and hours, literally flushing it all down the toilet. But the other thing I experience, the lack of proportion, is in my thinking. You know, there's so much lack of proportion in my mind, and my disease is my self-centeredness. And so I lack proportion because all I'm really thinking about is me. And I might think that I'm being selfless or I'm being kind or I'm being generous, but am I not really? Just trying to get your approval or trying to manipulate you into thinking such a way about me or into getting what I want. You know, I lack proportion to see my, I lack proportion in my thinking because I'm always thinking to myself, and I can't think straight. I think I'm being nice. I think I'm being the good guy. But then I get all hacked off when things don't go my way or they go anyway for 5 minutes and then I'm immediately back to being discontent and irritable. And step number two tells me that, you know, just in the same way that I cannot restore myself to sanity and proportion with my food, and I need to concede that to my innermost self, I also need to concede to my innermost self that on my own power, I cannot uproot the selfishness that is the core of this disease, and I need a power greater than myself to do that. And thank you, God, that this program teaches me that my God can do that for me. I need to participate, and I need to show up and suit up and participate and practice. And when I experience the pain of having turned away, I can humbly ask God to remove whatever it is that's blocking him. And my God is so patient, so generous, and so kind that every time that I come back, he's there waiting for me to restore me to sanity with my food, with my thinking. And I thank God for that. And I thank this program, this community, for leading me into this solution. And with that, I will pass. Mackenzie D. in Wisconsin.
Thank you, Mackenzie. Okay, Nadia E., you're up, and then we'll have time for three or four more shares.
Good morning, family. It is Nadia E. in Toronto, Canada, and I'm just out walking my dog, so if it's noisy, I apologize. So So thank you, Team Monday, for being there, for having this opportunity to share my experience, strength, and hope. Yeah, looking back at my insane behavior with food, I have to keep that at the forefront today, because just like when I'm driving on the highway, I always have to think an accident, anything could happen. Or I'm walking down the stairs, I could trip and fall. I just have to sort of, you know, prepare myself that I'm a compulsive overeater. Anything can happen. But if I keep myself on a daily basis in fit spiritual condition, I surrender in the morning, everything, everyone, how I think, then I can have a beautiful day with my higher power, and I can relate to other people and continue my good relationships with family and friends and strangers. So yeah, I was thinking, I remember sitting in the living room with a book, and I had my alcoholic food with me, and I was eating it, and I was hiding, and I thought, I was hiding from my housekeeper, pretending, whoops, sorry, good morning, and I was, hiding from my housekeeper as I was binging on the food, and I was like, this is crazy. Insane. That involves insanity. So that's how I can relate to the big book, which I could not relate to initially when I first came in like 30 years ago into OA. I couldn't relate to it. And now I can, because vision is teaching me to look, like to identify in rather than to judge or think that I'm unique. Nope. Okay. So I wish everyone continued spiritual connection today, and I love you guys. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Nadia. Okay, so we're on page 37, the first paragraph, whatever the precise definition. Who else would like to share on that one paragraph if you haven't shared lately?
Carrie, okay.
Darren K or Darian K? No, it's Darian. Darian K.
Chris G in Tennessee. Yeah.
Chris G.
Jason W in California.
Jason W. Okay.
Blake
we can
G.
Take one more.
Blake G in North Carolina.
Blake. Okay. Okay, let's go with those four. We might have time for one more. Okay, Darian K., Chris G., Jason W., and Blake G.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
Katie?
Okay, there you go. Yep, I can hear
right.
You.
Thank you. Hi, it's Darian K. in the Berkshires in Massachusetts, and I'm recovered for today and very... very grateful to be on the line with you and able to share today. You know, every time I hear that milk thing, I always think, and I don't know if anyone has said it before, but think how pure milk is and how, you know, babies drink milk and little children drink milk, you know, with cookies, how innocent and pure it is. And what a to me, like a metaphor of that purity that maybe Bill was trying to give us in that moment of insanity, right? When that person, when he, you know, put them whiskey in there, like, oh, it's just, you know, what's the big deal? And it's just like, I guess, you know, when you think about, like, they have those funny things about, like, if I eat something off the floor, it doesn't count. If I eat something after a certain time of day, it doesn't count, or a crumb or whatever, you know, all these things that you can just make up in your mind. You can just make it up as you go and then really, really believe it. You know, believe the lies that you're telling yourself. And that's to me what this disease is all about, is believing the lies that we tell ourselves. And if I could stick to a diet or a pay and weigh situation where I would follow everything that they recommended, I probably would have succeeded, but I couldn't because there were so many lies that I told myself that there was no way I was going to succeed in any way to take the weight off or to stick to anything. It's just such a relief that I don't have to live that way today. How much mind exercising does it take to, like, try to figure things out and hide things and deny and avoid and all that kind of stuff? So I'm just so grateful. And I will pass. I have myself back away, so I will pass. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much, Darian. Oh dear, there's an echo. Hopefully Chris T gets on the Wolfie, followed by Jason W.
Well, hello.
Can everybody please see your unit?
Can you hear me?
Yes. No, we can't hear you now, Chris. If you could please star one again.
Okay. Thank you for everybody that makes this meeting happen. And thank you for everybody that shared and everybody that's here. Thank you. Okay. So I'm Chris G, and I live in Tennessee, and I am a compulsive overeater, and I can tell by my behaviors that I behave like everyone else, and by your shares that I behave like everyone else. And in this program, in this compulsive overeating program. And I wanted to thank everybody for telling everybody to share that it's a part, participation is part of the solution, and that the crazy thinking, everybody quotes this paragraph about the whiskey in the milk. Even when they don't know what page things are on, they don't say page this, page that, page this, and page that. They say whiskey in the milk. And so it makes sense that we have this kind of thinking about food, that whiskey in the milk thinking. And it makes sense to most everybody that we do that. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Chris. Okay, Jason W., you're up, followed by Blake G.
Okay, I was just pressing star one. Can you hear me okay?
We can. Thank you.
Great. Glad to be here in this meeting, Jason W., in recovered, hopefully recovered, certainly if not recovering, compulsive overeater in San Diego, California. Great topic. Thanks for all the shares. You know, when I looked at this paragraph, I thought, oh, there's not going to be much sharing. It's such a dinky little paragraph. But it just happens to be huge, just not very many words. And, you know, the essence of whiskey and the milk to me is under these conditions, it won't have the effect it normally has on me. Under these conditions, I'm going to be okay. And yesterday was Mother's Day, as you know. And my son went out and got something nice for my wife, including three or four donuts. And I'm a donut fan. I love donuts. And I was thinking, well, it's Mother's Day. I really should have he's cutting it into little bites. I could just have a little bite. And something inside me came alive. And see, I can't restore myself to sanity. Something inside came in and showed me where that one bite could definitely lead. Complete relapse, complete loss. Maybe not today. Maybe not the day I took it. But it would plant the seed. Oh, that wasn't so bad. I got away with it. I can do that once in a while. I can do that just once in a while. I can do it a lot. I'm certainly not going to do very much. But lack of proportion, the proportion came in yesterday and said, look at the consequences. This are huge, although it seems small to my insane mind. And again, I don't claim any credit for being able to not even ask for a bite. There's definitely my higher power coming in. I mean, lack of power is my dilemma, not lack of knowledge about how insane I am. But it helps to know that I'm insane so that I can gain access to that power, because without that access, I'm going to be drinking whiskey and milk before you know it. So thanks for letting me share. It's good to be here. God bless.
Thank you, Jason W. Okay, Blake G., you're up, and then we'll have time for one more share.
My name is Blake G., compulsive overeater from North Carolina. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you great.
Okay, great. This is my first time caller here, and I want to thank somebody who shared earlier who said, you know, jump on out if you've never shared before. And that's one of the reasons that I'm jumping out. And I can really relate with Jim in this story, in that self-knowledge. And like, it makes sense to me, that foolish idea of putting the whiskey in his milk or finding ways to do things. That totally makes sense to me. And I feel like I'm not my thoughts. Unless I take action on that thought, then it hasn't happened yet, and I can remember to push the pause button, and I'm not my feelings. I have feelings. So that's all that I wanted to share, and that I am a compulsive overeater, and that awareness gives me strength in that. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Blake, and welcome. Okay, who would like to share? We could take two-minute shares.
Suzanne M., okay. Warminster, Pennsylvania.
I heard someone before you. Who was that? Someone BT or something like that?
Lisa, BT?
Okay, go ahead, Lisa, and then we'll see if we have time for one more.
Okay, thanks. I'll actually be quick because it's just that this call is always amazing to me, and I remembered something I literally had not thought of for years that is an absolute illustration of insanity, which just taught me once, it could also be thought of as unhealthy. When I first started being able to get access to food myself, not just being a little kid and whatever was in the house, was when I was old enough to start going to the store to pick up an extra bit of milk or bread, and my mom would give me some money. So in front of the cashier was all the candy, and I immediately would get myself one or two things as well as the bread or the milk. Then what I would do is go far away from the store, eat it secretly, like amongst some trees or something. And then, because I was quite convinced that people would still know, I would find a garbage pail and I would put it under other garbage, the wrappers, and then go home. Today, just the shares reminded me of that. That was my first get my own food eating experience, and that is what it looked like. I knew it was different because 5 years later, when my sister was old enough to start going to the store, she would leave the wrapper in the bag. And my mother would say, "Did you get candy? It's going to be dinner, blah, blah, blah." And I realized, oh, who lets himself get caught? So that's the story I wanted to share, and I will pass with that. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Lisa BT. We could take one-minute share. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear the person. Okay,
Suzanne,
go ahead, Suzanne.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. I'd like to, I'm a grateful recovered compulsive eater only through the grace and mercy of God. And I wanted to talk about our distorted thinking. yesterday my daughter took me to the Phillies for the game, and before I was trying to figure out lunch, and I'm like, well, I can have a hot dog there and blah, blah, blah. And then the game started at 1:35, and I have my lunch at 1 o'clock every day. So I packed my usual lunch, all my little containers, and off I went. And I enjoyed her, and I enjoyed the game, and I enjoyed everything. Because it wasn't about food. I didn't have to think about food while I was there because I'd already taken care of my needs. Shout out to all the mothers out there. Happy Mother's Day. You know, only through the grace of this program that I had an amazing weekend because I was present with my family. And, you know, whenever that's the case, I am very happy. And lastly, in this process, I went through bins of clothes that were all up in my attic, and I brought down the 3X and the 2X. And I just yesterday got the last bin of 1X out of the attic. So what a miracle that is. Thank you all.
That is wonderful. Okay, thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for today, Monday, May 11th, 7 a.m. meeting is 23447. That's 23,447. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Jason K. P. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.